full, I think we must be ready to start the meeting. And begin by welcoming members of the Portfolio Committee who are going to host a delegation from the Mpumalanga government and local government there, and any other person who might be part of the session, including officials from both the Mpumalanga provincial government as well as parliament, and any other guest who might be part of the meeting. I might have started early, 2 minutes before time, which I think is not outside the rules, because I'm just preparing to make sure that we don't miss anyone. I started this early because I thought I should again continue on yesterday's comments about our programs that must be predictable. And we are still trying to implement what we talked about yesterday. So challenges would always be there. I think members did get an indication that there was a possibility to change the meeting. And when we were asked, I was the first one to indicate that I'm ready for that. My reason being this understanding, one, that on Wednesdays, so it's something that we should note, generally on Wednesdays, executives usually meet. But like I'm saying, we have indicated our program on time. But there was, during that process of consultation, which I still believe it was not perfect, we still need to improve on that. We did get feedback that says the meeting must go on. So the meeting is going on. So formally, the meeting is now open. I would like to welcome the delegation of Mpumalanga, start with the apology of the Premier, who indicated that she had prior commitments. And so the delegation from Mpumalanga is going to be led by the MEC for Finance, Mr. P.V. Mkatshwa, and a list of other MECs, MEC of Health, Ms. Manzini, MEC for COCTA, Ms. B. Shiba, and MEC for Human Settlement, Mr. S. Mashilo. But that should not be done by me. I would allow at the appropriate time the MEC for Finance, who is the leader of the delegation, to introduce the delegation. And when I hand over to them, that's what he will have to do. Now, honorable members, besides the apology of the Premier, any other apology, Portfolio Committee Secretary?
Good morning, everybody. It is an apology from Honorable Buthelezi that is still off sick. Honorable Kalipi, now I see she's on the platform. Sorry for that. There's also apologies from the minister. She's attending cabinet this morning, as well as Deputy Minister Bapela. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Any further comments, apology? I see honourable speech.
Good morning, Chair. Sorry that I'm not showing my face. I have to be leaving this meeting before 11 because I'm going to another meeting at 11 o'clock. Sorry.
Honourable Mkhalipi.
Thank you, Chair. I put on the group that at 10, I have to attend the Chiefs Forum. So I'll be here until 5 to 10.
Okay. Now let's maximize this period between now and 10. I see that there's no further hand, and I think all the apologies have been noted. We have only one item for this meeting, briefing by Mpumalanga Provincial Government on the Auditor General's report on COVID-19 expenditure. So that's the only item. Can we get somebody to move acceptance of that item? Honorable members, any mover for accepting this? Want to adopt it?
I so move, Chair.
Honorable members are moved. Any second?
I'll second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Runewald. That then takes us to handing over to our guests, led by the MEC for Finance. I've indicated, in fact, you from now on until end of the presentation, you take charge, Honorable MEC. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My greetings to you and the members of the Portfolio Committee. Let me also greet my colleagues, the Honorable MECs. As you have mentioned them, Chair, earlier on, the MEC of Health and the MEC of COGTA, who is also partaking in the Department of Agriculture. My greetings to the DG and his team, the administrative team, who are also in the meeting. Chair, you have already dealt with the apology of the Honorable Premier. And let me probably start by greeting the committee and indicate that indeed it is our honor and privilege to address the committee. And this we do on behalf of the team from the Mpumalanga Provincial Government. And I want Chair to hasten in assuring the Portfolio Committee that we continue to appreciate your commitment to keep us on check so that we give an account on the work we do with respect to the overarching task of fulfilling our constitutional mandate. And Chairperson, we appear before this crucially important Portfolio Committee to render a briefing on the Auditor General's report on COVID-19 expenditure. We are appearing before this Portfolio Committee to account about how the different departments and municipalities in Mpumalanga have spent the public funds in their collective endeavor to mitigate the impact of COVID-19 to the citizens of the Mpumalanga province. The centrality of government, Chair, is providing public goods and can never be emphasized. And the fight to undermine the presence of the coronavirus pandemic and save lives is of great importance. And as the interventionist and caring government, we will continue to play our pivotal role in this regard. And Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, the Auditor General had some findings on some of our departments and municipalities regarding the COVID-19 expenditure. And we have thusly prepared the progress report to brief the committee on the issues raised. And as I have indicated earlier on, I am indeed accompanied by the head of the Provincial Treasury in Mpumalanga, Ms. Kukuma Shiteng, the Director General of the Office of the Premier, Mr. Makuku Mamburu, as well as other head of departments from the affected departments. And Chairperson, as per your request, we will deliberate on the report, and the officials mentioned above will give a granular of details on the COVID-19 expenditure and actions taken where there was leakage and wrongdoings. As a provincial government, we have put our hands on the deck in mounting strategic response to non-compliance by departments and municipalities. And Chairperson, of the 33 municipalities selected for auditing findings were identified on 29 municipalities relating to the excessive prices paid for PPE items. And we can report to the portfolio committee that appropriate actions have been taken where higher prices were charged by suppliers. The National Treasury and the Competition Commission received reports for the purposes of further investigations. And Chair, the procurement by municipalities is still under investigation by the law enforcement agencies, the Hawks being one of them. And it is important for the committee to also note that arrests have been already made to that effect. And we are, Chairperson, unwavering in our resolve that the provincial administration will deal decisively with all expenditures incurred in contravention of prescripts, such as your irregular, fruitless and wasteful spending, especially on the COVID-19 expenditure. The Provincial Treasury, working together with SALGA and districts, have established an integrated municipal support plan as a multidisciplinary intervention and a stakeholder shared the responsibility to monitor and support municipalities on a differentiated focused approach. We can report that the accounting officers and accounting authorities have been provided with all necessary guidelines and support to finalize the investigations as required by law to deal with wasteful and irregular expenditure. Chairperson, it is our view that the recommendations emanating from investigations must be implemented to strengthen the systems of internal control. We have made a clear call that consequence management will always be applied where necessary and in a fair and a transparent manner to thwart the incidences of non-compliance to legislation and prevent unwanted expenditure. Chair and members of the portfolio committee, we have drawn the line on the fence on non-compliance, wasteful and irregular expenditure. Lastly, we have and we will always strive for a clean and sound governance, and we commit to deal decisively with corruption whenever it rears its ugly head. And from this point onward, Chair, as I have indicated, let me once more appreciate the opportunity and request the DG, we have Chair prepared a consolidated report to this regard. While departments also have their individual reports, we were ready to then take guidance from the committee on which approach they perceive to be the best approach. But the DG is here leading the administrative team. I will want to request the DG to then be able to guide us in terms of tabling the report.
Thank you, MEC. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee, honorable MECs, colleagues in administration. I've seen the PE for the Auditor General in Mpumalanga and other colleagues on the call. Chairperson, we propose to have the head official for provincial treasury, making the consolidated.
Can we see the DG, Chairperson? Can we see the DG? Please. Don't want to speak to the two books there.
I assume we you're here as DG. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. Apologies about that. As I was saying, with your permission, Chair, and the permission of the leader of our delegation, I would like to invite the head official for the Mpumalanga Provincial Treasury.
I think we agree. We'll indicate when we are not happy, maybe at the end, to say some elaboration here or there. I think we agree with whatever approach that you adopt, as long as it will talk to the issues that are before us. I'm not sure what is happening. We agree with the proposed approach. Is the head of treasury around? Hello, what is happening now? Is it load shedding?
I can hear you, Chair, and I can see you, Chair.
In Mpumalanga. No. I'm trying to check the delegation from Mpumalanga if the head of treasury is available as indicated by the DG or the DG himself. It looks like
Chair.
Okay. Yes.
Our apologies, Chair. We are trying to get hold of the head official to make the presentation.
Okay.
As it seems, she's having just a bit of a challenge which she's attending to. We beg for your indulgence, Chair.
No, we will accept, like I'm saying, any approach. So the indulgence, is it about time or what?
Yeah, Chair, she seems not to be hearing us, but I requested her to check if she speaks, if we can be able to hear her. But she was not hearing us. That's the challenge that they were trying to resolve. I see she has unmuted now. So if maybe she tries and see if we win, Chair, we'll really appreciate that.
Yes.
Chairperson, it's me again. In the interest of time, can I request that HOD Ngubane assist with the presentation because it seems like it's taking a bit longer, and I don't want to waste the time of the committee.
Agreed. We agree.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to the MEC and the honourable members that are with us here. I will then open my just to show my face first, as it has been requested. I hope it is showing, Chair.
Yes.
Yes, that's the man behind the screen. I will, for the interest of the network, close the video and take you through on audio with the presentation at hand. Well, the purpose of this presentation is to provide progress on the implementation of the AGSA, that AGSA, third special report for all the affected departments that are going to be tabled here in the presentation. I'm not sure if someone would be rolling for me, or must I roll it, the presentation, Chairperson, so that we have a visual?
We don't even see the presentation.
Oh, okay. But, let me just do that just now.
So you can see the presentation.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Sorry for that. Maybe I was just on this slide dealing with the purpose of this presentation, which is about presenting for all the departments on the comments that we received from the AGSA, which was our third special report. In future, what we will be covering here is the purpose, the presentation outline, which would include our department at COCTA, the Department of Education, DATLIA, Department of Human Settlements, the Department of Health, as well as the Department of Social Development. As a matter of fact, we'll start with what was received for the COCTA site, which is about municipalities not following the required procurement procedures or processes for the COVID-19 expenditure. Sorry for the typo there. Starting with the first municipality, which is Nkomazi Municipality, this municipality had appointed suppliers to provide fumigation services in March 2020 for the total amount of 2.6 million. That's 2,620,000. You can see the chair. We noted also that the following non-compliance aspects, that is what the AG said, and possible fraud, red flags, the evaluating or the evaluation of the appointment of, as well as the payments to the suppliers, which could collectively indicate possible preferential treatments to the suppliers. They also noted, Chair, that there was insufficient audit evidence available to confirm the fairness and the transparency relative to the obtaining of the written price quotations from potential suppliers. There was no documented evidence that potential suppliers, other than the appointed suppliers, were conducted, and no reasonable measures were employed to establish the reasonability of the final price awarded, as well as the consequent payments made to the supplier. All in all, the supplier was not registered on the CSD, that's at national treasury at the time of this award. We further noted on Komazu Chair that the supplier was not tax compliant at the time of the award, and that the supplier has no previous order history with the municipality for the previous financial year. They could not confirm whether the nature of the supplier's business and whether this was aligned to what they were appointed for, as the supplier has no internet presence in the database. Since the supplier was appointed without following a proper procurement process, and in some instances, the key documentation was not available to confirm the finance and the transparency, Chair, of the appointment of the supplier. They also indicated that Komazi, sorry, Chair, for that. I think it just jumped. They recommended that the declaration of the interest and not following the required procurement process, the municipality should ensure that they comply with the circulars issued by the National Treasury when procuring the PPE items. This includes making the relevant adjustments to the standard operating procedures and communicating this with the staff involved in the deviations based on the National Treasury circulars. The third recommendation, Chair, on Komazi, was that the request for quotations and tender specializations should include the specifications of the PEE items as prescribed by the World Health Organization, the Department of Health, and the Department of Trade and Industry and Competition, which are the regulatory departments in this regard. The management should only consider suppliers that provide the required declaration of interest. If any false declaration is made, then the municipalities should investigate the declaration and take the appropriate actions. The consequence management that was raised is that of the 33 municipalities selected for auditing, they identified the finding on 29 municipalities relating to the excessive prices paid for the PPE items. The accounting officers for the 19 of the 29 municipalities indicated that the municipalities would continue and or enhance their internal processes to ensure that the circulars issued by the National Treasury are taken into account during PPE procurement. Where appropriate, the excessively high prices charged by the suppliers will also be reported to the National Treasury, the SIU, and or the Competitions Commission for further investigation, Chairperson. Now, coming to municipalities not following required procurement processes for COVID-19, we have also the progress made on Komazi here, where the procurement by the local municipalities is still under investigation. Of course, there are the hawks there, Chair, and we also, as a department, we can only add that we later included the Section 106 in that municipality. So there are concurrent investigations that have been running there in that municipality. The department also, as I have indicated earlier, the 106 1B, which is by law the territory of the Honorable MEC, and this report has already been concluded. We've got the findings and there are recommendations in this regard. The department, jointly with the provincial treasury and other departments working together with the provincial treasures like SALGA, the institutions like the districts, have also established multidisciplinary intervention plan called the Integrated Municipal Support Plan. That's the IMSP from all the stakeholders, which is or will be used to monitor and support the municipalities on a differentiated focused approach. These task teams will monitor, provide hands-on support, and enforce implementation of the Integrated Municipal Support Plan, Chair. Now, we are dealing with the following by and large. On sound financial management, to improve the financial reporting, establishment of a strong internal controls environment and sound financial management policies in municipalities, avoidance of the unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, largely around the issues of supply chain compliance, implementation of credible approved audit action plan, where we are actually assisting to enforce internal and external audits, and that they are properly implemented. On good governance, Chair, that's around the areas of corporate governance. We ensure that there is proper HR systems through the appointment of qualified, experienced, as well as competent key management personnel. We also are establishing effective, functional, as well as independent oversight structures. Those are your audit committees, your risk management committees, your Section 79 committees, by and large, from council, including the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, as well as the checking and ensuring that the recommendations from council and the resolutions thereof are implemented. We also investigate the UIFW cases that are raised by the Auditor General, and we implement consequence management through the councils, of course, Chair. If recommendations are clear, there are disciplinary boards and all that impacts that would actually raise those recommendations, and these must be implemented as such, including the Section 106 investigation. Recently, the Honorable MSA established a task team, which is a provincial steering committee, that looks after all these recommendations if they are properly being implemented. Of course, the task team or the steering committee is working closely with the law enforcement agencies so that where there is no appetite for the implementation of these recommendations, they step in and they would actually act upon that. Now, on project management related to basic services and infrastructure delivery, the task team will also meet on a quarterly basis where they are assigned to look at the progress that is being made and the implementation of improvement plans by the municipalities as well as the municipal audit action plans that we are implementing. We also instill a culture of effective leadership with the necessary skills, the experience, as well as the qualifications that both politically and administratively are some of the focal areas that we are looking at for any position that is to be, or senior leadership position that is to be filled in a municipality. We also are resuscitating Municipal Finance Directorate in this department. Well, I think just to flag it in a more correct way, we will be establishing it in this department because in the past, we have actually assigned this to be one function that's been dealt by Provincial Treasury. But of course, this has actually showed some kind of gaps or deficiencies in the sense that, you know, Provincial Treasury, we end up being a referee and a player at the same time. So we would want Provincial Treasury to do its role, that of monitoring all of us, including COFTA, if we are actually implementing the things that are supposed to be implemented. And then COFTA remains with the support, which is largely from the Municipal Finance Management Act on Sections 131, 132, 133, 145, 46, Chair, it's a number of them. But it's just to highlight that there is a role that the MEC must play in terms of local government. And that's for that reason that we have taken the shape that is around the country in all nine provinces, that there will be a unit on municipal finance in COCTA, and a similar unit, there'll be that at Provincial Treasury, pursuing the functions assigned to the two departments in terms of the act. Sorry, it's been jumping around. But then we are now looking at AHSA key findings areas on water distributed at inflated prices. We picked up, Chair, that the following president's declaration of the state of disaster, a key priority for COVID-19, as explained in Section 6.2 of the Disaster Management Regulations, was to install water tanks for the supply of water as a rapid response to ensure that communities in need were provided with the water supply to combat the spread of the virus. Of course, this required municipalities to respond in a timely manner or timeless manner to ensure that the resources required to meet the needs identified in the strategic initiative were delivered at the correct time, correct price, as well as the place, and at the quantity and quality required to satisfy the community's needs. A total needs assessment should have already been part of the strategic planning process of the municipalities or DTAC, as they are also water services authorities and should thus have been in a position to efficiently and effectively implement the projects. AG also noted that the management measures over the daily and monthly processing and reconciling of transactions, which would have entailed verifying the kilometers and rate claimed by the service providers for water supply using tankers, as well as the reconciling of transactions to documents supporting the payments, were unfortunately ineffective, Chair. And that consequently, various payments were approved and made for four municipalities, resulting in overpayment of 775,017. And you will see that table actually as it would be showing. In view of the sample tested, further investigation is required across all the related payments. And this is where we are, Chair. As you can see, this is the table in Bushbuck Ridge. There's about 228 overpayment, 228,800. In Bombela, 84,834, as well as in Nkomazi, 461,380, which totals the 775,017, Chairperson. The city of Mbombela, the municipality, concluded separate appointment letters for existing contractors to deliver water to communities during COVID-19. The contractors invoiced the municipality on a monthly basis, providing the log sheets as evidence of the delivery of water per location per day. For 5 of the 10 invoices, 50% that is, that selected for auditing, the municipality received 7,890,000 liters, that's 7.8 megaliters of water, less than planned when comparing the actual loads against the planned contractor's schedule. In addition, the municipality paid an excessive amount of 84,837 due to incorrect rates being charged for water delivery. This illustrates how poor internal controls contribute to municipalities paying inflated prices for these services. Bushbuck Ridge, Chair, the municipality used contractors to deliver water to the points where water tanks were placed as part of the response to the COVID-19 outbreak. Auditors say that the appointment letters did not indicate the water tanker capacity, and as a result, the municipality could not monitor the quantity of water in liters to be collected and to be delivered as well. The number of loads of water delivered as invoiced and paid for across the 5 invoices selected for auditing was 203 loads, more than that recorded in the delivery log sheets, resulting also in the overpayment of 228,800, Chairperson. The municipality's internal controls did not detect this overpayment, and as a result, the municipality suffered a likely loss due to the overpayment of this 228,800 tank. You go to Nkomazi, this municipality appointed water tanking services to supply water at the approved rates on a sliding scale that specified return distance traveled, as well as the capacity of water tanker, as indicators to determine what the applicable rate shall be. These appointment specifications were subsequently changed to allow service providers to claim the maximum rate per water tanker capacity, disregarding, unfortunately, the kilometers traveled. However, an addendum to the service level agreement detailing these changes was not even signed, Chair. And this resulted in the municipality paying all water tankers with the same tank capacity, the same rate, regardless of the distance traveled, and so on. Our evaluation, that's the auditors, of the three invoices indicated a potential loss of 461,380 due to the municipalities regarding the kilometers traveled when determining the adjusted rates, Chair. In terms of the continued assessment, the auditors are raising that to effectively realize the intended outcomes of the initiative, management should prescribe in its arrangement a contract or contracting what supporting documentation and information is to be submitted for monitoring of actual deliveries being made and reconciliation and for the reconciliation purposes, as well as to confirm that the payment of invoices is based on actual deliveries made. And this could include signing off the detailed log sheets, that is the signature of the community representative, that is the one that are representing the beneficiaries or the recipients, as well as the validation of actual kilometers covered, the size of the tankers, as well as the liters that are to be delivered, Chair. The procurement by the local municipality is still under investigation by the enforcement agencies, like we've noted, the HOS, noting that the arrests are already being made in some municipalities. The department conducted an investigation, of course, in terms of Section 106, and the department jointly with the provincial treasury, as well as the department working together with provincial treasury, SALGA and districts, also are a part of implementing this IMSB, like I indicated, Chairperson. I think this would be a repeat. Maybe I've been moving in a different direction, but we can actually go to the summary of the observations, if I may, Chair, that the provision of water to the community was and continues to be a critical government strategy even before this pandemic, and that the water is required for household use, for hygiene purposes, and now importantly, for the prevention of the spread of COVID-19. In addition to our findings on the water tanks and installations due to unsatisfactory needs assessment, project management and safety and security measures that's covered in the focus area infrastructure section, the following concerns on the supply of water compound these problems. Due to ineffective management, monitoring and oversight processes, and adequate as well as continuous supply of water to the community was not ensured. The unsatisfactory processes collectively did not bode well for the effective implementation of the initiative to meet the goal of providing water where it was most needed, as 20, that is 19% of the 107 tanks that were sampled for the audit were not adequately refilled. While the auditors confirmed empty tanks during on-site visits, and communities in some of the areas confirmed that the tanks were empty for periods ranging from a week to a 2 month period, the extent of the finding could not be fully explored as key documents, that is the schedules, the logs and so forth, were not completed, Chairperson. Auditors also noted that the water tanks at the municipality were not always filled, leaving some of the communities without water for extended periods of time. According to the JoJo tank status report dated the 2nd of February 2021, none of the five water tanks in the Mjejane village were filled with water. This was confirmed when they inspected one of the tanks on the 1st of February 2021. The municipality indicated that it did not provide water through the water tankers because its tankers were not scheduled to deliver water to the 3,500 stands in Mjejane village. the village received water up to October 2020, when the 30 hired private water tankers were deployed to deliver water to the villages, meaning that the water was not delivered to the village for more than 6 months. With no water delivery in the communities, Chair, villagers had to revert to buying water from the private water tankers providers, for which they had to pay themselves. The Jojo tanks, that's about 5,000 liters, were also not filled for 9 other communities due to the shortage of water tankers. That's according to the Jatank status report dated the 2nd of February 2021. And also there is this table that actually begins to unpack this, Chair, in Steenbok, in Mandulo. These are all villages in the Nkomazi area, your Mandulo, your Tembakulu, your Mbuzini, Masibegela, your Mkobotsi, Shangani, as well as Mkobotsi, Upuro. We actually indicate there, Chair, who donated the tanks, the number of tanks that were donated, and also the number of stands that benefited in that regard. DWS, that's the Department of Water and Sanitation, as well as the Nkomati Usuti Catchment Management Area, COCTA, our department, were a part of those who had to ensure that the water is actually provided for in these Jojo tanks, collectively or jointly so. Like we have seen in the previous table, these were the donors for the Jojo tanks. From a vehicle status report dated 28 January 2021, it was evident, Chair, that only 8, that's now 61.5% of the 13 municipal water tankers were operational at that time. And the report indicated that the cost to repair the tankers would be too high to put them back into operation. And therefore, the manager for water and sanitation indicated that the municipality budgeted to procure only 2 additional water tankers during the 2020-2021 financial year. And this could indicate that water was not always readily available to all of the communities in this area. Okay, I think it is always jumping around. I'm not sure why. I think this is where we are, Chair. Sorry for that. Management should compile a water provision. That's now we're coming to some of the recommendations that were raised by the AG, is that management should compile a water provisioning plan to ensure that available water tanks and water tankers are equally allocated and efficiently used to provide water in the affected areas. And the additional equitable share and reprioritized conditional grants, which were allocated, of course, to this municipality, should be used to fund additional water tankers in order to ensure tanks are filled regularly. Management should implement monitoring and oversight functions to ensure that water tanks are refilled as planned and that water is delivered to residents of informal settlements on a frequent basis. The records should be kept on when these water tanks were refilled and to enable the municipality to monitor whether the need for water has changed, Chair. And of course, I would not want to deal again with these issues because we are here highlighting these issues that are relevant coming from the IMSP, and we've already dealt with that, Chair, without wasting your time. It's the common issues that we are actually implementing in terms of the integrated municipal support plan. In terms of the Department of Education, Chair, ineffective stock management processes resulting in shortages of PPE items at education districts and schools was what was raised by the auditors. Detail of funding. Auditors also identified other stock management deficiencies related to the late delivery of PPEs at education districts. For example, In Mpumalanga, there were 3,004 face masks for learners in 5 schools, which were delivered late, which affected learners' return to school. And this is what the auditors have noted. Mpumalanga's district offices did not always deliver the PPE stock in timely manner, which put pressure on school officials who could not do proper verification, resulting in these PPE stock quality deficiencies not being identified. In 4 of the schools, we audited as auditors. They audited the Mpumalanga PPEs that was delivered either on the day learners returned to school or after they had returned to care. The progress report was that the audit findings has been acknowledged and that the department has since resolved this matter by preparing a need determination, making use of the South African SAMS reports, and going forward, they will be using this database to determine procurement and distribution of the PPEs to all the schools here in Mpumalanga. Currently, the budget is allocated to all schools as part of the paper budget allocation for them to be able to conduct their own procurement. In other words, decentralizing this chairperson. The PPEs delivered to provincial education facilities did not meet the required standards and specifications, which is the repeat findings for the sector. In terms of the findings, one of the school that was visited received face masks for the grade 9 learners that were too small. In other words, the size thereof, they were uncomfortable and they were quite painful to wear. The school notified the Department of Education, that's the districts, but the face masks were not replaced and the learners continued to wear these face masks because they had no other alternatives. The school principal indicated that the school does not have enough budget to procure other face masks for these learners. And in terms of the department, progress made is that the audit finding was also acknowledged and the department has conducted physical verification and masks were replaced to ensure that they meet the quality standards that was required. Currently, the budget is allocated to all the schools as part of the payer budget allocation for them to do their own procurement in that regard. In terms of non-compliance with general SEM legislation, which was also a repeat finding for the sector, the findings were that the Mpumalanga Education Department continued to procure the PPE's items through the Health Department contract, which it participated. In other words, they participated in the contract from the Department of Health, as previously reported. And the first special report indicated that the department deviated from the procurement process and participated in the health department contract to procure certain PPE supplies as allowed for the Treasury Regulation 16A6.6. However, the department procured additional PPE items to the value of 23,193,830 from the same supplier through an invalid deviation process, and these items were not included in the scope of the original contract with the health department. As Treasury regulates, the regulation by Treasury 16A6.6, this regulation has clearly been contravened and the expenditure is deemed to be irregular as a result. From the department, the progress the department actually recorded here is that it has acknowledged the audit finding and the department has since incurred the 29.56 million, which is of irregular expenditures as identified by IRCSA, that is linked to this transaction. This matter has also been investigated by the SIU and subsequently referred to the Hawks. And the responsible official, being the former acting head of department, has since been arrested and charged for these matters, Chairperson. I am now moving on to the Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Land and Environmental Affairs. Here, Chair, there were initiatives that were expected from the department. And when it comes to food parcels, they spent 32,233,000. And this was the distribution of food parcels, which was done through the AgriHubs. The demand of food parcels came from the Department of Social Development to Daglea. In other words, Social Development had to make a request from Daglea to assist in this regard. There were also consumables, that's the municipal supplies for 660,000, where PPEs for employees were also purchased, Chair, resulting in the 33,331,000 that was spent for that. There was also conditional grants, that's the disaster risk grant of 12,160,000, of which 11,619,000 was spent. And this was money coming from the National Disaster Management Center through the National Treasury, which made an amount available, which is that 12.1 million. That's for the drought relief to the affected farmers. And it was not specifically for the COVID-19. Now, that figure also explains itself, that out of the 12.1, 11.6 was actually spent. Coming to Department of Human Settlements, Chair, here we've got human settlements initiatives, which is the provision of water supply through boreholes, water steel tanks, as well as other storage facilities. They had a budget of 182.7 million, and the auditors actually found that the limitation of scope, as they did not obtain the sufficient appropriate audit evidence for some of the COVID-19 related procurement and expenditure. And that was the experience that auditors had to encounter when they dealt with this matter. Now, in terms of the progress, the finding was raised by the AG when they were finalizing the 2019-20 audit. Hence, this was a special audit as it was relating to the transactions that were not part of the 2019-20 scope. This budget of 182.7 million was allocated in the 2020-2021 financial year, and AG started the 2020-2021 audit to audit the department, and the department submitted all the information that was outstanding, and as such, this funding was fully cleared. It was for this reason that the finding was not reported in the 2020-2021 financial management report. In the 2020-2021 financial year, the budget was reduced to only 82.7 million during the third adjustment. With regards to the Department of Health, Chair, they also had some initiatives. Apparently, this progress is actually detailing the human resource part of the responsibility by the department. The audit focus was the human resources related to the COVID-19, and the findings were that there was limited assurance to which was not obtained as a result of the limitation of the scope. That is the payroll report for the COVID-19 human resource management expenditure for the 1st of April 2020 to 31 July 2020. And that the appointment report for the July 2020 was not provided for audit purposes. Now, auditors recommended that management should maintain proper record keeping for the COVID-19 related employee cost to support the amount paid. And so far, the department has registered this progress, the proper record for the COVID-19 related employee cost to support the amount paid is kept and maintained by the department, and all employees appointed for COVID-19 are linked to the COVID-19 project on PESA and as PAS, and expenditure is currently classified as the COVID-19 financial reports are prepared and submitted to the provincial treasury. Here, Chair, the audit focus area is supply chain, where there were audit findings, starting with the first one, local content, the SDB, the documents not completed, and the majority of the suppliers did not submit. These documents, 6.2 documents, which were required in terms of Section 71(1) of the Preferential Procurement Regulations of 2017. And the department has assessed these causes of non-compliance, and a report will be submitted to the Department of Finance to deal with the issue of the misconduct through the Financial Misconduct Committee for recommendation to the accounting officer. The assessment report will be finalized by 15th of March 2022, Chair. The second finding was related to that no evidence of reporting to the Department of Trade and Industries. Management did not provide proof of reporting to the Department of Trade and Industry, Trade, Industry and Competition in terms of Section 4.6D. And in instruction number 5 of the 2020-21 for the majority of suppliers that provided PPE items to the department. And of course, the recommendations, Chair, were that management should ensure that the reporting requirements are adhered to in line with the specific regulations. And the department here reports that it is currently complying with the DTIC reporting requirements, and that furthermore, the department is consolidating all quotations procurements for the reporting to the DTIC before the end of March 2022. Another one was the reporting deviations. Management did not, that is non-compliance with the reporting deviation, that management did not provide proof reporting to of reporting to the relevant treasury for the deviation in excess of 1 million in terms of the treasury regulations. That's now the regulation 16A6.4. This was done for some deviation, but not for all. And the department actually indicated here that as part of their progress, that it has thereafter submitted all deviations to provincial treasury in line with the treasury regulations requirement. However, currently, all deviations even below the 1 million are now being reported to provincial treasury within the required time frames. There was also an issue about the co-activities where unfair selection of suppliers appointed for the supply of PPEs were noted, Chair. Auditors identified that no consideration was given to the experienced assessment during the sourcing of the suppliers, as there were suppliers without evidence of experience in supplying medical supplies who were appointed to supply PPEs. And here, Chair, they said the department has selected service providers, those that had available stock provided items and complied with the World Health Organization requirements. And also that some suppliers as per the CSD's report were as follows, the agriculture, the forestry and fishing, the crop and animal production, hunting and related services activities and logging. The department here reports that currently the department is procuring the PPEs through the National Transversal Contract and not that which was noted previously, Chair. In terms of fumigation services, gracious projects were awarded a contract in terms of the bid number, that's the One Hill stroke 144 stroke 17 MP, effective from the 1st of April 2018. The contract was thus extended in terms of paragraph 3.5.1 and 3.7.2 of the National Instruction Notes number 8 of 2019-2020 to include sanitized and fumigation services. Of course, the payments made to the service provider were in excess of the agreed upon contract rate. Now, the finding for this, Chair, was that management should ensure that the agreed upon rate is charged by the supplier by comparing the submitted invoices to the agreed rate as per contract or quotation. And the department has actually recorded this progress that it had appointed the service provider prior to the prevalence of this COVID-19 pandemic. Upon expiry of the contract, the department then had to make sure that the price complies with the instruction note. Again, another control deficiency that was noted by the AG chair was that a service provider called Moloti Construction quoted the department amounts inclusive of VAT whilst not being registered as a VAT vendor with SARS. The approval process did not identify the error on the quotation, the approval letter and the invoice which indicated that the price is inclusive of VAT was an issue here. And that auditors then recommended that management should perform a VAT search for each vendor that submits an invoice with a VAT charge. And the department here records progress to say that it has improved the control environment by reviewing and updating the payments, especially the ground around SEM checking list to ensure compliance thereof. The department has recorded a debt and a follow-up on the payment is being done, Chairperson. We are going to the Department of Social Development, Chairperson. And here we there's seemingly a party in the background there.
Hey, I can hear that.
All right, this is just
I need to identify who is that.
Yeah. No, Chair, this is the second last slide. I think you should just bear with me. AGA, AXA or the AG finding on this one was that the Auditor General raised a concern with regard to the process that was followed for the identification of beneficiaries for the social relief. The department has clear processes outlined for program 2, 3, and 4. And these processes include the beneficiaries that were identified by COCTA through the CDWs. That's our department working with the Community Development Workers Chair. The challenges were experienced in program 5 on the food parcels that were to be distributed to the CNDCs. The department has subsequently put in place on process to be followed, the process to be followed to address the concerns raised by the Auditor General. And in our last slide, in terms of our progress report, is that the PPEs were distributed to the departmental officials of the department and not to the beneficiaries. And the officials were identified by the district directors and chief directors in the provincial office. These officials were instructed to sign for the receipt of the PPEs and the registers are available in the department for any inspection that may happen. With that, Chair, I would like to thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. MEC for Finance, because you are the political authority, if there's anything you would want to say before we move to the next step, which is an important step in terms of oversight by members of parliament, that one of asking questions, and you representing the executive responding to such questions, which can be translated to accountability. You are not only accounting to us, by the way, you are accounting to the people of Mpumalanga, because they are the ones in the end about all these questions, whether they are asked by Auditor General, whether they are asked by SIU or the Hawks. All those are asked on behalf of those people who are supposed to be beneficiaries of the services. Any comment before then I move to members, Honorable Emisi?
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chair. I think I have no further input. The presentation as made by the HOD represents our views very well as a province. We are going, Chair, to be here patiently to take these questions from honourable members, which myself and my colleagues, MSC Manzini and MSC Shiba, are going to also take a collective responsibility in responding and bringing clarity on some of the questions that might come. Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair.
Oh, thank you. Honorable members, now this is the time for discussion, stroke questions, comments. I will be guided by your hands as I see them in the participation list. Whilst I'm waiting for hands, it might be that you have clarified everything. I am new in the portfolio committee, and my suspicion is that you are not coming for the first time. So it's the members mostly who would be raising issues. Now I can see some hands, others are coming up and disappearing. I've seen Honorable Kaza. I've seen number two, Honorable Matumba. The other one that came up and disappeared, okay, it's up now, Honorable Mbumza. Can we take those hands for now? Honorable Kaza.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, and the province of Mpumalanga in your presentation. Chair, my first comment will be that here, wouldn't there be a new ground being broken outside the tender system? That is used in terms of the MFMA and the PFMA in terms of procuring goods and services on behalf of the municipality. Because why I'm saying that, Chair, there are issues relating to that. First of all, the reality is that in addition to corruption, Chair, the system of tenders and contracts have proved to empower only private sector. I'll tell you why I'm saying that, Chair. And a few connected individuals in procurement while disempowering the communities and the workers. I'll tell you why. The dangers of that outsourcing method, of the work that the state should be able to do, is that you've got a price selling inflating of prices. In terms of Nkoma, which costed 2,800 per 10,000 liters, if you calculate very well, whereas the municipality on its own, apart from it having taken a conscious decision to insource all functions that it should be performing, when it does,
transport those particular services to people of water tankers, it only charges a mere 250 rands. Now, questions are asked, Chairperson. Is this a viable method that will be sustainable to benefit the communities and to benefit the workers that are within that program? The answer to that is a vehement no. Because workers are not properly employed within those services. There are no beneficiation that is happening there of workers. Mostly it's low wages and to the benefit of a particular company with the officials that are connected to the families that were employed within that PPE distribution. To date, Chair, the municipality cannot account for the masks. They don't know where they are. The sanitizers, everything. This is a report of the MPEC and the AG report. That says that it's nowhere to be found. So the question is, what is to be done? How is it going to be recovered? Who is held liable for the disappearance of accountability in terms of those PPEs that disappeared there? MJ Mondlane is used, Chair, even the company is appointed. They know very well that it's not tax compliant, but they continue with it. What is the interest? Is it not the fact that the company actually was called over the telephone? It never followed the processes, the tender processes, the bid processes in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act and the competitive bidding thereof. How many of these cases that are said to be investigated are outstanding? Because I hear that there are arrests being made. How many of these cases are outstanding? I don't hear that coming through. On slide 13, Chair, of the provincial treasury presentation, that the Provincial Department of Health addressed an audit finding relating to procurement of personal protective equipment items at prices that exceeded prescribed prices by more than 10% without authorization. To me, that's corruption. It's nothing else, Chair. How much money did the department lose in the process? Has this been recovered from the responsible persons? And then you are saying that there's action being taken and all those things. It's fine, we'll wait for that report. But Emmy Simkachwa then propels me to ask a question when he says that we are striving for clean and sound government. Well and good, Chair, but the question that I have is whether you have indeed intervened in regards to the issues relating to Steve Joete local municipality, where Mr. Khosi Makwati was petrol bombed in his house and sustained injuries as a result of leading municipal workers to salary dispute strike with the municipality. What is of curious concern is that the municipality obtained a clean audit while there were constant power cuts, water pipes repaired and new installed, supposedly installed in 2020 in Cronville, with promises of no more water shortages by the municipality. How was there a clean audit, Chair, when there are constant discrepancies with the rate payer I was also affected here, Chair. I was charged 33,000 on water. When we went together with other residents to ask the administration of the municipality, they immediately scrapped it when we challenged them without telling us where these prices coming from. And then high water consumption amounts based on the estimation and not actual cost. You are saying that there's clean and you're striving for a clean and sound government. So please answer that question for me. And then in terms of project management, there's a number of projects here in Mpumalanga that we found that are incomplete, Chair, that are incomplete. The case in point being Schoemansdal Stadium, that is unfinished 15 years ago, Chairperson. The dressing rooms were done, level grounds was put, and the company left. And now that particular spot is a crime and a drug den. And in a country where there's gender-based violence like this, surely that place cannot be a jungle like that. What is the process of reporting for projects in Mpumalanga? What monitoring evaluation and post evaluation that is conducted within the projects? Why has these projects been left for that long by the Mpumalanga province? Because that amounts to wasteful expenditure as intended purpose and value for money was not achieved, Chair. I'm just curious. And what makes me curious even more is the Department of Education, Chair, who was Kwamhlanga Secondary School was spending 42,000 for mere 32 face shields for 26 teachers and 6 non-teaching staff. Who was held liable for the inconsistently supplied PPE to this school? What is the consequence management in this regard? So I'll park myself there, Chairperson, so that I do not cloud a lot of issues. Thank you very much. Chairperson?
Oh, it's you, Honorable Matumba, yes?
Thank you, Chair. Before I start, I would like to say, let it be for the last time that we receive a presentation without annex charts. A presentation must come with annex charts. Annexures that give us full detailed report, because we need to know everything. That is how we can scrutinize and do the oversight. We'll be able to give questions based on full report. So every time they bring a report, that report must come with annexures that they refer to. Chairperson, what I see in this report is that there is a serious failure of political leadership. And because of that failure of political leadership, management are doing as they please. And now they are trying to blame it on service providers, as if service providers are the ones that are corrupt and management is not corrupt. If you go to page 6, you will see that they are saying we could not confirm the nature of the supplier's business because the supplier has no internet presence. I mean, this is someone who is doing the investigation secret in the office. Did you go to the address of this supplier? Because there must be a supplier, there must be address of the supplier where he's doing business at. This address is there in the document that they used to apply for a tender. So if you are trying to look for them on the internet, then it shows some element of laziness. Chair, we need to know. Yes, we can see processes were not followed and all those things. Did we get value for money? Because that's one thing we must know. That yes, processes were not followed and everything, but ultimately, did we get value for money? The other thing is that we are being told we could not confirm supplier. What is supplier? Supplier. These people are not being mentioned by names. That's why I'm saying we need a full report, like what they did in page 49, where they mentioned that it's Mulot, that was the name of the supplier. We need to know the names of these suppliers. Because we can't deal with people and we just say a supplier. Tomorrow we must account as well to people who elected us. They will ask, who did this thing? We just say supply. Chair, if you go to page 5, it shows that no compliance and possible fraud. We want to know, no compliance on whose side? An element of fraud on whose side? Is this non-compliance on both the supplier and the municipality? Is this possible fraud on both the municipality and the supplier, or is the supplier only, or is the management only? We want to know who is the corrupt one here, so that we follow that particular a person, because it is just saying that we noted non-compliance aspect, and but who between the two, who's working with who? Chair, there are, I think it's page 10, consequences management. I do not see any consequences here, because they are saying where appropriate, the excessively high prices charged by the suppliers will also be reported to Treasurer and ICU and all those things. But Chair, according to Municipal Financial Management Act, we must recover. Part of consequences management is recovery of our money. I don't see here in consequences management that we will recover our money. And when we say we recover our money, Municipal Financial Management Act put it clear that you can recover money from political office bearer of the municipality if they are liable for that expenditure. So then that's why I really wanted to know who is corrupting who and who is corrupt between our management and the supplier so that we can recover our money. Again, there is something I got here that was speaking to, yes, it's page 30, good governance, that establishment of effective, functional and independent oversight structures. What do they mean by establishment? Did they establish them? And if they established that, this means that they restructured their impact and Section 79 committee. Because one thing that we are not getting here, Chair, is the report of this Section 79 committees, because all these matters are reported to Section 79 committees and council take decisions. In the whole report, we don't get where these issues are reported to council, they go to MPEC and they come back, and what was the decision of council? Now, and then we have the recommendation of Section 79 committees, then the their implementation. Then I'll go to page 19. Where it is showing that there was a overpayment. Now, this overpayment, we want to have a report, because this overpayment must be reported in UIF, it must be investigated, it must be reported to council. Council must send it for investigation by Section 79, by MPEC, then it comes back to council, then a decision is taken. Then we want to know what political leaders did with this overpayment of 228 and other overpayments when it was reported to them. What decisions were taken regarding this overpayment? Page 24. Okay, no, it also go to the same thing of establishing. I've already spoke about it. Let me go to page 37. I see I've noted it. Chair, I will pause here. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Mbumza.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to honorable members, the MEC from Mpumalanga and the officials. Chair, in the presentation by the HOD, it's reported that the Provincial Department of Health had addressed the procurement of PPP items in excess of prescribed prices by more than 10% without authorization. Can the department explain to us how much money did the department lose in this process? And has this money been recovered from responsible persons? Certainly, Chair, the
The SIU February report 2021 knows that it had made two referrals on the 29 October 2020 against a middle manager and a senior manager in the Department of Health. And the head of the department had informed the SIU that the referrals had been sent to the departmental lawyers for review and decision. What has been the outcome of such a review and what has been decided upon as a way forward with regard to these two officials? Again, Chair, on the Komazi matter, when was the Section 106 investigation into Komazi Municipality launched and concluded? And what were the findings and the recommendations in relation to the COVID-19 related procurement? Has the investigation report been tabled to municipal councils and a decision or recommendation being made? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Then for now, I think let's allow the delegation led by the MEC to respond to some of the questions. I think the order will depend on yourselves.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Chair, and honorable members for the questions. Indeed, we are going to attempt to respond to those questions. And I will want to request that the HODs come in first, and then the political leadership will also come in talking to those issues. Perhaps we can start with the Department of Health. If HOD is here, just quickly come in. I'm not sure, Chair, if we are audible, if Ma'am Julie can hear us.
I'm not sure, but we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay, can any of the HODs probably start so that I don't create an order that can quickly before the MECs, and I will come in, Chair, and attempt to wrap up on the responses.
Chairperson.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, I'm MEC Fokota, MEC Shiba. Chair, let me quickly show my face so that I can also close because of the network. Chairperson, I will request that I will support the proposal from MEC Mkatwa that I will give HOD Ngubane to respond on the issues that have been raised that are touching a co-opter. And I would also come after him if there are issues that he left behind on the person, if you agree. Thank you very much.
No, I agree.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to respond
yes.
now.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Yes, indeed. With the questions that I could gather here, Chairperson, was the issue of the stadium in Schoemansdal. And I can assure you, Chair, in terms of our records, we do not have, unfortunately, a Schoemansdal stadium, as was asked by Honorable Khanya Xeza. I can indicate that, yes, there were a number of stadiums and infrastructure that were constructed in Schoemans, and I want to mention those that we have on record, Chair, because they were funded from the MIG. This includes, amongst others, the Mbuzini Stadium. This was completed around 2016, Chairperson. I also have in my record the stadium in Ngomhlushwa, which was also completed around 2017-2018, Chair. I also have Mangweni Stadium. It is also completed, as well as a place called Nas. These are projects that were completed long time ago. However, in Driekoppies, there is also a stadium that is current, I mean, the stadium that was completed, but there is a community hall that was last, you know, commissioned and is currently under implementation, Chairperson. I'm just saying, in case there was that confusion, perhaps these are the issues that we know in terms of the Nkomazi municipality. There are no, there is not that we know of, which is regarding Schoemansdal. Chairperson, another question was asked about the Nkomazi investigation. Yes, indeed, we had commissioned an investigation which had started around August 2021, Chairperson, and this investigation was completed in October 2021. A report, Chair, was then submitted to the department. And of course, we, as you know, we then went for the preparations of the elections around the November. And we had actually given a time that when the new council is installed, Chair, we will then go back to the municipality. However, the process we follow is that we appraise the executive council, which was scheduled for today, and we were just told this morning that it had to be rescheduled to give way to these engagements today. Otherwise, the MEC would have been tabling this report today at EXCO, which will then give a go-ahead for this to be tabled to the municipality. And I think, Chair, we have all systems in place to ensure that both the Troika of the municipality and the total council, the municipal council in full, is receiving this report just immediately after EXCO has been updated or appraised with this, and that we will then go ahead with the implementation of these recommendations. Hopefully, I've covered only the two that I thought they were relating to Copter, Chair. If I am mistaken, of course, I can be corrected. But my leader here, the MEC, can come back if there are matters that I would have to also address. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not chairing. If MEC wants to say anything after this from COCTA.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Greeting to yourself and honorable members, as well as my colleagues again, Chairperson. Mine was to agree with the honorable member that consequence management must be instilled to those who will be found guilty, honorable Chairperson. As indicated, that the issue of procurement is still under investigation by law enforcement agencies, as indicated in the report After we have received all the recommendations, Chair, as COGTA, we are monitoring in terms of the implementation of the recommendation. And also, Chair, as indicated by the HOD, in terms of the Section 106(1)(b) that we have instituted there, that we're supposed to present it today to ESCO. After that, we are going to present it to the municipality for action in it. And as COGTA, we will monitor the action plan with the help of the task team, as they will provide hands-on support and enforce the implementation thereof, Chairperson. It's only that I wanted also to emphasize that after we received Section 106, we present it back to the municipality, and the municipality is being assisted to make the action plan, of which us is to monitor that action plan, and that is why we are having the task team that will also assist us, so that consequence management should be also instilled for those who will be found guilty, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sure any department then can come in when that is ready. How do we
Chairperson.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Manzini, and let me greet the Chairperson and the members of the Portfolio Committee. As the Department of Health also, can I allow the HOD to come in, then I'll come after the HOD. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning to the Honourable Chair, and good morning to the members. And thank you for this opportunity to respond to the questions that were raised by the members. And I can indicate that as a department, I think we had three questions that are relating to the issue of the payments that was exceeding the standardized payment that was done to Gracious Project. And I can indicate that as a department, we are working with SIU that is busy in terms of recovering that money that has been paid, but also as a department that has since been corrected inside in the department. And also in terms of the issue of the VAT, the department is also in process of ensuring that we recover the money that was paid to the person who was not registered for VAT and was paid for VAT. And in terms of the two officials that were related to the PPE issues that were mentioned by the SIU, I can indicate that as a department, we have since suspended the two officials, and their hearing is sitting on the 17th and 18th of March, where we are going to then look at their matter and make sure that consequential management is being applied. I thank you.
Honorable MC.
Thank you very much. Honourable Chairperson, and indeed, as indicated by the HOD, our approach in terms of the department, even before we started any procurement, it was very clear from the executive authority that we don't want any corrupt element as far as using the pandemic for people to enrich themselves. Hence, in terms of all the recommendation, the findings, be it by the SIU, we are working closely with them, so that whenever they conclude a matter, immediately we implement. As the HOD has indicated that since we have suspended those officials that were in the report of the SIU, and of course, as such, we are going to make sure that we continue with the disciplinary processes. But also what we are seeing is that some of them now, they are even starting to resign of which before I accept the resignation, we are seeking guidance from the SIU so that we are guided properly. What is it that must we do, especially from our side, in terms of those people that are found to have not followed the necessary SCM processes, so that we don't want to be limited in terms of making sure that disciplinary processes and the correct measures are put in place. But in terms of the department, especially on the other one also of the gracious, where the department indicated that in terms of the pricing, it was prior for the COVID-19, but all of that since has been corrected. But we want to assure the portfolio committee that as a department, we are committed and we appreciate the opportunity granted to us as a department to come and account, so that in terms of the accountability representing the community in our province and in our country, we are able to come and account. So we really appreciate the opportunity, but as indicated by the HOD, we are making sure that we don't want any corrupt element. All those people that are responsible will make sure that we work with the relevant law enforcement agency, so that we send a clear message that if you want to have your corrupt element in the department, we will act. And indeed, that will be an example that other people will not be able to want to follow moving forward. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. But this is Moya.
Thank you.
I am the MD for the Department of Education in Mpumalanga. And I would respond to the questions that have been raised for the Department of Education, in particular the issue of, can I regard it that the overcharging or overpayment on particular items, and also on issues of related to consequence management. Honorable Chairperson, in terms of the overpayment, we have been able to recover the overpayments, and they were in relation to VAT and VAT for our masks. We recovered monies from the service providers that were affected. In terms of the overpayment to the company that has been supplying us, that matter is currently being handled at the state attorney's level and linked to the SIU report, where the state needs to recover about 87 million of overpayment or overcharging from the company that has been providing a service to us. And that matter is still in progress. In terms of providing for this year, I'll come to the next one. The department has since changed the model of providing PPE to our schools so that we ensure that the sizes are correct, and to also address the issue of local content, which was we were found to be wanting on that matter. And what we are doing going forward is that procurement happens at school level. The funds are provided to the school so that the need assessment is done at school level. The sizes can actually be appropriate at that particular level, and the procurement or the procurement can be from the local service providers. But we have developed a guideline that we provided to our schools that they know exactly what is it that needs to be procured and how to determine sizes for the learners and the cost of the resources that they are supposed to be getting. So we're managing that procurement not from head office as we did previously, and that happens at school level. And in terms of consequence management, the report of the SIU identified officials that need to be disciplined, and we want to indicate that the SIU referred our matter to the Hawks, and the Hawks have since arrested an official from the department, and the matter is currently under the courts, and nothing has moved at the moment because it's recent. The arrest happened on the 25th of February. That's where we at, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. The next one, Can it mean that the responses are done now?
Chair.
Yes.
I think I see the head official of Provincial Treasury has unmuted, but we are not hearing her. Maybe the challenge is still persisting on her side. Because I wanted her to also come in and speak to the support that Provincial Treasury is giving to departments and local municipalities, especially as it relates to the whole question of making sure that we improve on our controls in such a way that we can be able to detect and pick up any misconduct before we can even probably have losses due to such a conduct. And this is a matter that also involved the issues of capacity building, making sure that our oversight committees are able to be empowered to understand the role that they should be playing at the level of municipalities as well, so that they are able to hold officials accountable on the work that they do, but also be able to develop preventative measures which will ensure that we indeed arrive at the point where I raised the issue that as a province, through the stewardship of the Honorable Premier, we have always strived and made sure that we want to have a clean and sound governance. And we continue on that commitment, Chair. I think what comes up in all the responses that are being given is that where probably we suspect that the wrong things have occurred, we immediately move into that space. And how we move into that space, we move through investigations. We start by investigating so that we establish the facts, facts which will point us to the correct direction in terms of who and how this misconduct was has occurred, so that we move away from probably having to play the guessing game on who might have done what and how. We want to know what we are dealing with and who are the people that should be held accountable. And this is where, Chair, we are saying where we are, and the Honourable Premier has given clear guidance to this effect, that let there be those investigations, let there be consequence management where wrongdoings are found. So we are not apologetic when we come to that. So officials are being held accountable throughout the administration, and people, as we might have heard from the different responses, that already other officials are subjected to either disciplinary processes, others are suspended, others have been, because we have also committed ourselves to work very closely with our law enforcement agencies and support the work that they are doing, so that when we hand over these officials who would have been found to have committed some wrongdoings, they are able to hold them accountable and be able to subject them to the full might of the law. And this is our posture in this regard going forward. And we have also been instructed, and we are clear also again, Chair, that all monies that would have been lost through this corrupt conduct that might have found its place in our administration, those monies should be recovered. And I think, Chair, you would have picked up on the responses as well, that there is work that is happening in that regard as well. And We stand here. We are condemning any act of criminality any act that seeks to intimidate people who want to come forward and report wrongdoings in the provincial administration and municipalities. We want to make sure that whistleblowers are protected. They are able to come, have the confidence to come to us and report with the understanding that what they are reporting are issues that we are going to work on them without any fear or favor. So I think this is, amongst others, the issues that we are really highlighting to the committee, that the provincial government is committed to deal with all the wrongdoings that might have happened, especially as it relates to the COVID-19 procurement issues, so that really it brings back the integrity of this government and bring back the confidence of our people that we are a government that is responsible, a government that is able to utilize the resources we have in a manner in which should be above reproach, a manner that would be of benefit to the people and citizens of the province. So with those words, Chair, I will take it that these are our responses to the questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will take the follow-up questions from the members. As I see the hand of Honorable Tsheza, Honorable Matumba. For now, I see those two hands. Honorable Tsheza.
No, thank you very much, Chair, for the responses and an opportunity to come back again. Chair, I can tell you now that things that we bring to the committee on record, we are quite cognizant and alive to them. We are not thumbsucking them. We in the EFF were always on the ground, right? Apart from us as members of parliament having to do oversight work and constituency work timelessly. Can the secretary of the committee fly the stadium that I was talking about and the next one on the on that house that was a bent and the injuries thereof, so that they can respond as to why are they saying that there is no stadium there, so that they can look at the area. I'm sure they will identify the area itself for us. Can you go to the next one so that they can identify the area? That stadium is next to the hall, community hall next to Schoeman's Kloof. And I don't know why I responded like that. It says, Chair, that there's no stadium like that here on record.
So the picture you that is being shown there, is that the stadium? I'm just saying it, the picture as you see it, we see I don't know how to call it, but it's some building with bricks and a roof and then so is it part of the stadium? Honorable Tsheza. Honorable Tsheza, are you still there? Honorable Tsheza. Okay, I think you will come back and clarify that so that we are able. Honorable Matumba.
There's no shedding in Steve Chat. I went out and it came back again. Sorry about that. I didn't hear what you were saying.
I was asking what we saw in the picture was a building with some bricks. Is it the stadium? Was it the stadium you were talking about? Oh, load shedding might be a problem. But in the meantime, Honorable Matumba, can you come in?
Thank you, Chair. I most of the questions that I asked, in fact, my questions were not answered, because what I want to establish is whether we are having municipalities or not. That's what I wanted to establish. Chairperson, we've had here irregular expenditure in municipalities. Now, irregular expenditure is dealt with in accordance with Section 32 of Municipal Financial Management Act. And it will tell you that it must be reported to council, it must be reported to mayor, it must be reported to MEC, it must be reported to treasurer. Also, if there is criminal elements, it must be reported to police. They must be recovered. So Section 32 cover most of the things. Now, for me to want to know whether we have municipality or not.
Now, Bandi, please.
Chair.
Can you mute? Okay, continue, Honorable.
Chair, I want to know who identifies this UIF first? Was it the municipality through its own mechanisms, or it was Auditor General? Who identified the criminality first? Was it the municipality and reported it, or it was SIU? That's what I want to know, because I want to know, did management in the municipality report the UIF to council? Did council investigate? Did council report the matter to the police? Because if council itself didn't do all these things, there must be consequences on the executive committee. There must be consequences on the mayor. There must be consequences on the council itself. Because, Chair, we are coming from VBS, where council failed to identify that the municipalities are investing in a bank which is not recognized for investment through a Municipal Financial Management Act, and nothing was done to council members. Now, this thing is taking us there where executive committee and council should have prevented and acted on the matter, and nothing was done. So part of consequences management must be to deal with the executive committee that didn't report the matter or failed to identify the matter, the council that failed to deal with the matter when it was reported to, if it was reported to it by the executive committee, and also the MEC who failed to act when the matter, if it was reported to him or her, of this UIF. So consequently, we will only be able to implement consequences management if we are to know who identified the criminality first. I want that answer. Who identified the criminality of this irregular UIF first? Was it you, the MEC? Was it council? or SIU. Now, if it's SIU, actions must be taken against political bearers and the management for the failure to identify this. I think I will pause there because it will also take us to liability and recovery because we need to recover our money. Chair, thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Kweza is not here, but I think he did raise his point. Oh, you are back now. Okay.
I'm back, Chair. I
was disturbing you to say the picture was flighted here of a small building. Now, I was not sure whether it is the house or the stadium.
No, Chair, they didn't show all the pictures because the pictures are taken in vertical form. There's no aerial form that shows the entire stadium from the top and the area. So hence I said that they should be able to identify because it's right in front opposite the community wall. And the other pictures, because Sherin had a problem with writing the pictures. But this was just to say that there's no amount of evidence or issue that we bring here without having evidence in the committee. So they dare not say that we're thumbsucking issues. Now, the question that I wanted to ask, how are they dealing with corruption in an already corruptible tender system which promotes that goods and services through the MFMA and the PFMA? That services must be provided to issuing out of tenders, and services must be brought to people via the external service providers who are inflating prices. I have indicated that a Komaz municipality costed the municipality 2,800 per 10,000 liters. When it is the municipality that does that, they distribute their own water for 250 rands. So how are they dealing with the core of what is causing the corruption itself? That's the core of my question, Chair. How do you just deal with people from a point of view of the surface? And then you don't deal with the core system that actually causes the actual corruption in the. We're not going to ask the preventive measures because we're not going to ask superficial questions and play to the narrative of the presentation. That we're not going to do. What we're going to do is really locate what the problem is and how the province seeks to expedite or to resolve that situation permanently, because that particular system does not seek to benefit the community at all. If anything, it benefited those ones that were called, that never followed the due processes. Apart from the due processes being fraudulent on their own, because they are promoting this particular tender system, which is corruptible on its own. What is the paradigm shift, Chair? And how are they breaking new ground in terms of assuring that particular system is not re-regulated? Because you can re-regulate and remodel all you like. Marx says it is still capitalism. It is based on the same profit maximization for private individuals. So how are they make ensuring that? Because we're not told, when we go to the votes there, there's no one who's explaining that particular system. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Now we, because we are almost concluding, I don't know what would be the best approach, Honorable MEC for finance. You'd also be, in responding to the follow-up questions, you'd also be concluding your presentation and appearance before the committee. So you can structure the way you want to respond to some of these questions that were a follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. I think most of the questions, the follow-up questions, are relevant to COCTA. Hence, I will request through Mrs. Shiba that COCTA comes in and speak to the follow-up questions. And maybe I will therefore do as you have said, Chair, as you have guided, that I will have my parting shot in terms of the discussion.
No, thank you very much, MEC, and also Honorable Chairperson, for an opportunity again given to me. I would also give to the HOD, then I will come if there is something, Chair. But Chair, however, let me give HOD. I will just come after the HOD, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Honorable MEC, and thanks to you again, Honorable Chair, and all honorable members here. Maybe before I start responding, I need to assure you, Chair, that we respect the members of Parliament, and we are quite aware that whatever we say here is should be and must be the truth and nothing else but the truth. And this is because we know of the consequences if we lie or mislead Parliament in this regard. I want to again stand by my earlier response, Chairperson, that indeed there is no stadium at Schoemansdal. And I'm saying this with absolute respect to Honorable Fraser. I'm not intending to water down on whatever that he has said, but we are obligated as officials to state what is the truth and nothing else but the truth. In our system, I do have all the MIG projects that are approved by the department for all municipalities. There is no such a project. What he is referring to is an open ground, unfortunately, Chair, that the community is open for themselves. And there is a library, I can say there is a library structure, and there's also a community hall structure. We do not have a stadium. We do have a playing ground that is not accounted for as infrastructure that government has delivered in that area. It is just an open ground that the communities felt that they could use for their own purposes. And for whoever who said that this would be the stadium that was funded from MIG will be an absolute misrepresentation of the truth, Chair. And I'm saying this with due respect, that I don't want to be a part of those who would mislead Parliament and state that indeed there was a stadium in Schoemansdal. I am not in any way suggesting that anyone is actually saying that there is a stadium from the province, from the municipalities. But of course, I need to give advice and also correct where there is an insinuation that there was any stadium built with the MIG funds or whatever that may be. So I am looking at my system, and my records are very clear that we have only those stadiums that I have mentioned. And I think I could actually even include Kamakhageza in the list that I actually mentioned earlier on. But none whatsoever is appearing from this Schoemansdal. And I'm saying this intentionally, knowing that it is truth and nothing else but the truth, Chair. On the second matter that has been raised about what is being done, and I want to agree with the Honorable Fraser in this, that yes, this matter was dealt with even extensively when the minister visited us. Mr. Mkhulu was in the province on the 7th and the 8th of December, and we dealt with this issue of water trucks that are illegitimate, that are supplying water, and this is crippling our people on the ground. And there is a position on the matter that the sooner we roll out the infrastructure, the better we phase out all these trucks. But the rider to that was that there shall be no trading of water. The water must be supplied by the municipality. And this was said with no uncertainty that we do not stand by the trading on water. And I fully agree with this. These are the things that we are actually exploring on the ground to ensure that if there are such practices that are continuity, are in continuity, then we have to pull all our forces and our muscles with the law enforcers to ensure that there is a stop, an absolute stop into that practice. But we are saying this bearing in mind that water trucking would have been the alternative to the permanent infrastructure that we are supposed to be installing in all our communities. I fully agree that it is not supposed to be a venture for business profiteering and for people actually enriching themselves. And this is not what government is standing for. And we are for that idea that we cannot allow people, you know, profiting on, at the expense of the need of the people on the ground. It can only be an alternative temporarily once the infrastructure is being rolled out. And of course, just like we had mentioned earlier on, the report was to be tabled today at EXCO, which has all these instances. There are people who have been identified. There are contractors that have been identified. And in some instances, yes, they agree with what the AG has said. So yes, the report is very clear. It will be tabled and heads would roll in this regard because the law enforcement shall take its course in terms of what the report has raised, Chair. And we're saying this respectfully, that indeed we're not trying to hide anything, we're just following the process so that no one can even turn around to the court of law and begin to raise their own shenanigans of how the process was run and the like. We are clear and we are actually firm that we will see to it that this comes to a finality, and those who have transgressed our laws and that have not done well and they have profited on the basis of the plight of our people shall sing, and they shall actually dance to the music when the law is to be enforced. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable MEC.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. One issue that is left, Chair, is the question that was asked in terms of whether we are having municipalities or not, Chair, in Mpumalanga. I can say, Chair, that we do have municipalities, and evidence is that, Chair, there is an improvement in as far as audit report from Auditor General of South Africa, Chairperson. After Auditor General presented to those the findings to the Premier, then we will copy that report to members so that they can see that at least we are doing something together with the provincial treasurer in trying to assist municipality as being guided by the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa that we must assist and support municipalities. We are doing that. The other questions HOD have tackled for them, Chair. Coming back, Chair, to the issue of situate, maybe I will request that the honourable members, the chairperson and honourable members, give us an opportunity just to write a report and provide it to you, because it's a long story on what happened at Stiftwet, because employees there started by and embarked on an unprotected strike. It was when some of the services were disturbed. Maybe we need to write a report so that to appease members of the portfolio committee in that regard, because there was a misunderstanding in terms of when they are sitting on the local labor forum in terms of the SALGA bargaining council main collective agreement, Chair, that they wanted to discuss on the on the local labor forum. Hence, it's not their mandate to do that. Chairperson, can we be given that opportunity as the department so that we can be able to forward a full report about what happened at Stiftshoek, the local municipality? Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, before I allow I can still see your hand, Honorable Keza.
Yes, you can, Chair. Chair, I will ask the DG to institute an investigation into the pictures, because I was part of that oversight visit that I have shown here in commerce, even to the extent of us going there as the portfolio committee, because we can do oversight, so that we can show you what then is the problem there, so that we are not taken like this, man. And then so that we can satisfy that process through the local government team, if it's there to investigate on those matters. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Matumba. Honorable Matumba.
Chair.
Yes.
Yes, I see you have recognized that my question was not answered. It was not answered. Chair, I know you know that as Parliament, our duty is to make the laws, and we have made Municipal Financial Management Act, and in that Municipal Financial Management Act, there is Section 82. And the duty, their duty was to implement Section 82. So as part of oversight, what I wanted to see, to do oversight on, is their implementation of Section 82. I asked a simple question, which was not answered. Who identified the UIF first? Was it AG or the executive committee reported it to council? Was this UIF reported to MEC? Was she aware of it before AG came in? Secondly, the criminality of it, who identified it first? Was it the municipality through mechanisms of the municipality or SIU? Was it reported to her through Section 32, or she got to know of it through the SIU? That is what I want to know, because I want to know, what did she do as MEC when she discovered that AG discovered the UIF that was not reported to her? What did she do to those who didn't report the UIF to her? What did she do when she realized that they didn't report the criminality of the UIF to her? In simple terms, how did she implement Section 32 of Municipal Financial Management Act in this UIF, because it is her duty to implement Section 32. So what I want to know from her is, this is what I did according to Section 32. If she did nothing, she must say, I did nothing. If it was reported to her and she did nothing, she must be clear. If it was not reported to her, she must be clear. Because consequences management emanate from failures to implement Section 32. And Section 32 will tell you, if this one fails, this one must be done. If this one fails, this one must be done. Consequences management doesn't emanate from anywhere outside Section 32. So let's follow Section 32. We want to know, what did she do in accordance of Section 32? And I am saying her, not the DG. The DG reported, we are having his report. Now what we didn't have is the report that was speaking to political office bearers. That's why I want to know her report directly, because Chairperson, if you are going, you read this whole report, there is nothing that speaks to political office better. So can we get that part? Thanks.
Thanks. No, I wanted to allow the follow-up. I think we should agree before I allow the MEC to come in and make concluding remarks, that our focus here was on the management of government's COVID-19 initiatives, focused on the provincial and local government respective in Mpumalanga, as was tabled to Parliament on the 2nd of September 2021, 9 December and 2020, and 1st July 2021. So that was, but I know it was a long time ago. There will always be developments. And members, for instance, on this first one of Honorable Pesa, I think, without us battling about it, whether there's a stadium in Schoemansdal or not. So we'll have to find a way as a committee to verify that. Because for now, I can't speak with authority to say what you call an oversight, whether it was a party or the portfolio committee. So I think we'll follow up on that and establish the reality there. So we don't necessarily need responses. But generally, on some of the questions Honorable Matumba was raising, it is correct, we might not have responded to them one by one, because generally most of them are actually the gist of what we should be talking about. I think generally across the country, there's concern that we have been a little bit lax in terms of dealing with corruption. And I think everybody now is up to say, where were you when all these things were happening? What were you doing? So we should have some point where we start and say, this is here and no more, where we draw a line. And I think in general terms, Honorable Matumba, I think the MEC for Finance did indicate their commitment to deal with issues of corruption. And but they might not have actually, as you are asking, been talking to each point in terms of what the Municipal Finance Management Act is saying, what did we do, what we did not do, which is accountability, I agree. But maybe we'll have to find a way, you know, to focus on those, even them, now in terms of the reports that they should have received as to who is more active, whether it's the law enforcement agencies or it's government. When I say government, the face of government would be the executive. And whether officials who are alleging that service providers are corrupt? Is it the service providers or them? How do they get? I mean, all those details you raised, they are relevant and they need to be responded to. But I think anybody who is confronted by such questions might need more time to write something. So I would actually assume that the three areas that you have pointed out, the first one was this stadium. The second one are these specific challenges now that might talk to the leadership, that might talk to the officials, that might talk to even this thing of this UIF you were talking about. I think there was declaration to say from now on, we don't want to tolerate this thing of UIF and everything else. And when I say from now on, it doesn't mean that we are writing off everything that happened before. It can only be an assignment of those who are responsible, the executive, to say from now on, then how do we account for the past, which must still be done? It might not be us asking that question as the portfolio committee. It might be the people of Mpumalanga. It might, when I say the people must be led. Yes, that's what we're trying to do here. But they will not always depend on us to ask questions from government. So accounting for the past, yes, I think also in principle we can say, let's get something that might say in terms of all these clauses that the honorable member was asking. Then let's also do our own exercise now to integrate this party work that led to a belief that there's a stadium that is incomplete. Let's accommodate it as the portfolio committee and find a way to establish the facts. And let's also, because Honorable Teza, you spoke about the strike and some people who suffered some consequences out of it. I think let's accept the request of the MEC, because also that one, it's something that has happened. She says it is there, but they might not have been ready. We have also no report before us about that. Let's accept the request to say a report would come to us. And true, our interactions are going to be continuous because our work as members of parliament, one is to represent the people, do oversight, and engage communities. We may not end with yourselves. We might want to go directly to Mpumalanga, establish what is going on there in relation to specific matters, of course. We can't be everywhere. But I just thought I should try and summarize something like some way forward to say, yes, we've had you, leadership of government in Mpumalanga. You have tried to respond to some of the findings of the AG and the SIU. But we appreciate the commitment because we are also supporting you to say, let's do what we are supposed to do as government now, generally, the three arms of government. Let's do that because that's what the people are demanding. In other words, we don't have much of a choice as to what we can do and not do. What is expected of us is clean governance. So what we all commit to, and it will not just be talking about it. It will be the actions that we do that would actually demonstrate that. So in other words, we'll keep on talking, and I'm sure our officials as well are taking notes. Can I allow you, MEC, for finance to conclude?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think you have provided sufficient guidance on how certain issues need to be dealt with moving forward. And we will continue to really subject ourselves to the portfolio committee so that indeed we are held accountable of the work that we do. And of course, Chair, we welcome the proposals of an oversight visit to establish the facts in relation to the stadium. So I will not want to repeat what you have indicated. Safe to say, Chair, that as a provincial government, we are also alive to the fact that we've got new councils. We are just from the recent local government elections, and we are taking full advantage of that in terms of us coming very close and making sure that we capacitate councils to understand how these processes, especially the one that Honorable Member Matuba is raising in relation to Section 32, we are really in that space. And what we have done as provincial treasury, we have already started and embarked on a roadshow where we are engaging with the municipalities and the political leadership of municipalities on how to deal with issues in relation to the UIFW so that those processes are not flouted, and those who are found not to be doing what they are supposed to be doing at that particular time are equally held accountable. So we are alive to that. When we speak about investigations and consequence management, we understand what triggers those processes in terms of the legislation. And that's where we are, Honorable Chair. And we might have made a dangerous assumption in thinking that we, in terms of understanding what triggers those processes, we are all together and in the same page on those issues. But I can confirm, Chair, that indeed the processes, as we are engaging with municipalities, is that they understand that the accounting officer must promptly be able to report to the executive mayor, to the MEC of local government, in relation to the UFW issues. So, and the entire processes that are outlined, and these are processes that we continuously engage on with the leadership of local government so that they understand. And this is where we also speak about capacity building so that at least our oversight structures in councils, because of course they are councils. We are from the recent local government elections. We have established new councils. And what we are doing in those councils to ensure that they understand the legislations which governs them. We know, all of us, that the local government is one of the spheres of government which is highly regulated. And we need tamiously to ensure that our honorable members are capacitated to understand these pieces of legislation which should govern the work that they are doing in that space. And we are alive to that. We are there. And we are also, Chair, maybe the point of departure on the supply chain issues or your tender processes, as Honorable Member Teza, I think is raising them. The understanding is that because it should be important that any discussion should depart from a factual basis. So where we are now, We are conducting our procurement processes as determined by National Treasury. So the luxury of provinces waking up one morning and develop their own pieces of legislation, contrary to what as a country we are currently following, it will be amiss. But what we are saying is that if there's any debate that needs to ensue, whether or the procurement regime as it is should be the way to go into the future. That is a debate that will obviously welcome in a debate that should continuously be embarked upon, because at the center of the debate, we want to make sure that we identify if there are gaps within that systems which creates a fertile ground for corrupt elements to take place. And we need therefore to identify those issues and then say how are we going to address them moving forward, because the ultimate goal here is to deal away with corruption, but be able to ensure that we create capacity of the state to do the work that they are expected to do. And of course, it is a continuous thing, because we are still a developmental state and we are working towards realizing such issues and achieving a state where we'll say now we have built sufficient capacity within the state to do what they are supposed to do in relation to the question of procurement and outsourcing or insourcing matters. So I think it's a whole debate what that might need to be to ensue. It does not have a straight answer that we can then say as a province, no, we are moving away or we are coming closer. But what we can confirm to the portfolio committee chair is that we are looking at and enhancing our capacity when necessary, especially in making sure that because as a provincial government, we've had one implementing agent, and we want to then make sure that we diversify and create multiple implementing agencies so that the work is spread across, but also allow competition, which will then be able to lead us into a process where we know who and when should be then held accountable, and also speak of the qualitative of the work that we should be receiving. So I think these are some of the issues that are triggered by the discussions, which we welcome. And as we go back as a provincial government, we will also continue to have our own discussions on how can we better our systems, can we better the control environment so that we ensure that indeed we close the net on any corrupt tendencies that might have crept in. You know, Chair, that dealing with corruption will want us to deal with the corruptor and the corruptee. These are the two players that are involved. So yes, in certain instances, you will find that there's an official involved, there's a business person or a contractor involved. And we should be able to deal with all of them holistically. So it should not be a question of favoring the other over the other or using one as an scapegoat, but it should be a holistic process that seeks to ensure that we deal away with the corruptees, we deal away with the corruptors themselves. So these are discussions that we are having, and we are putting systems to support that. So with the whole issue of how municipalities, departments have used the funds which were earmarked to assist the fight for COVID-19. I think we are getting very closer to that space, and as provincial treasurer, we are playing the coordinating role in making sure that on monthly basis, we are let aware, we get the reports which indicate any expenditure towards that, so that we are able to immediately come close and play oversight and not allow issues to take time before they are picked up and processed and all that. So on monthly basis, we consolidate this report, we forward them to National Treasury as well, but this allows us to be effective in dealing with any elements that might not really be desirable in our institutions. So we are really there, Chairperson. Our hands are on deck. We are dealing with these matters. And I think we have outlined the processes that we are currently embarking on. In these processes, Chair, it's not a faceless process. I think in the responses, you were told that there's this official that's been arrested, there's this official that's been suspended, there's this official that is being invested. So we are clear and we know what we are dealing with. So we are not all over the show. So all those who must be held accountable. At the end of the day, are going to be held accountable. If there are monies that must be recouped, those monies are going to be recouped back to the coffers of the provincial government. So we are clear in terms of those processes, Chair. It might be a question of now probably not being on the same page in terms of these processes, but all of them are legislated. We are guided by the legislation on what kind of intervention can we mount, at what time and where. So we are really dealing with those matters, Chair, and we will continue to humble ourselves before the committee and be able, as even when the committee summons our attention, to avail ourselves to engage with the committee and be truthful in our engagements and be factual as well. So we are indeed happy, Chair, for this opportunity. Any extra information that must be provided to the committee, we'll be happy to do that. Any oversight visits that the committee will want to undertake, the provincial government will keep its doors open because we are not going to be telling any lies or masking any difficulties in the process. We are going to be as open, as transparent as we can be because this we understand to be in the best interest of our people. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. On behalf of the committee, let me thank the delegation from Mpumalanga.
Chairperson,
for honoring our invitation and also understanding that
Chairperson,
who is speaking now?
Honorable Matunjwa is
who is right?
Chairperson. Chair,
who is talking?
It's Honorable Matunjwa, Chair. Chair. Yeah, Chairperson, I think there's a problem of network on your side. You are cutting. But what I wanted to put before you is that we've recognized that there will be an oversight in Mpumalanga in terms of what Honorable Tresa said about the stadium. Also, I didn't hear you about the oversight of what I've said to establish whether anything was done in accordance with Section 82. Can we please put that as well, that there will also be that oversight? Thank you. Secretary of the committee, can you hear the chairperson?
I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. Hello.
Chairperson, did you manage to hear me?
I was trying to check and somebody said, and then I got disconnected. Can I hear you?
Chairperson, I was saying we have noted the oversight of that was mentioned by Honorable Tresa about the stadium. Also, can we note the oversight of the question that was not answered of the implementation of Section 32 on the irregular expenditure that was incurred in page 5? Can we also note that there will be an oversight of the implementation of Section 32 of Municipal Financial Management Act?
Yes. Now, I think we are noting all those issues. In fact, any other issue that might have been raised, once our officials are able to prepare our report and see gaps where there might be need for a follow-up, that will be done. So I think we are noting that. Can I then conclude the meeting? I was saying thank you very much to the delegation of MECs and HODs from Mpumalanga, one for honoring our invitation. And I think we are, because this was a special project that we had to deal with across the country, across provinces. And I think you have completed a portion of what we are supposed to do. The remainder would be follow-ups as indicated. But this doesn't take away your responsibility as government in Mpumalanga. At least you understand what are the aspirations of the people of South Africa, and in particular who are stationed in Mpumalanga. So do your work. And we'll keep on asking questions that relate to service delivery, because that's what the people ask about. On the issues of policy, as might have been raised here as well, I think that's a continual engagement. And other executive actions that we have raised questions about. For us as a committee, we're trying to do what we are supposed to do to make sure that the people across this country, in terms of the constitution, their rights in terms of Chapter 2 are respected, responded to, fulfilled. So that's all we are dealing with. But there was a specific project now that related to COVID-19. But like we are saying, that project is also getting closer and closer to its final conclusion in terms of where people get referred to government for consequences. We picked a sense that says there's some action that is being done that is getting referred to government in the context of law enforcement. We are also picking instances where there's some action that is being done. Let's use those examples to make sure that we massify those actions so that we minimize this bad picture that is being painted about government across the country. This is to close the meeting and say thank you very much. See you next time. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Chairperson.
Thank you. Come in. Close off.